I'd like to share a message this morning on a sign unto you. A sign unto you. In Luke chapter 2, notice if you will, in verse number 10 through 14, and then we'll skip over to verse 25. Luke chapter number 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then if you look in chapter 2 and over in verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great day, this Lord's Day, and a day set aside for celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we stand in awe of the great mystery, the mystery of godliness, God born in human flesh. And Father, we rejoice because we know truly the rest of the story. And we know why He came and what He did and what He accomplished. And why the angels came and gave the great announcement and others who came, Lord, to reveal the great truth that because of Him there can be peace, there can be joy, and Lord, truly, there is salvation because of the Lord Jesus. Father, I pray now that you would bless us with understanding. Would you write these things upon our heart? Lord, would you draw us by faith unto Christ? Lord, would you have us now come to the place of worship and praise and adoration for our great Savior? And Lord, we might be willing to sacrifice and to live for His honor and for His glory, that Your will might be done in our lives. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A sign unto you. If you notice, in both Scriptures, we have that which was given here by the angels to the shepherds and that which was given through Simeon, that in these two prominent Scriptures, we're told that a sign was to be given. Now, a sign, of course, is a symbol, or perhaps a wonder revealing an evidence of something far greater or something beyond. And so God was indicating that there is something about these two occurrences and these two statements that would cause us and should cause us to consider them carefully. That is, that they are ripe with meaning, that they will relate to us more of the great purpose and accomplishment of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of a sign. A sign, like a prophecy, is foretelling and forthtelling. A sign should call us to peer into a deeper meaning than what lie upon the surface. And so let's begin in Luke chapter 2, in the first reference in verses 10 through 14. In verse number 12, notice, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." God was saying that, listen, I want to call attention to you, something particular here, something that you need to stop and consider, that Jesus was born there in Bethlehem, and you will find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. What I want you to see here is that this sign was a sign of condescension. A sign of condescension. Because we find here that in these scriptures that these who listened, these who heard, were caught up by an apparent contradiction. Now, what was the apparent contradiction? Look at the great announcements that were given concerning this birth. The Bible already records for us when the Lord told Mary that she would be used of the Lord as His handmaid to bring forth the Lord Jesus. She had already begun to burst out in praise, and she had already recorded for us the great and mighty purposes. Look, if you will, for just a moment, chapter 1, verse number 30, what was told to Mary. "And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now notice verse 32. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now notice the magnitude, the greatness here of the announcement given to Mary about the birth of this child. The Bible tells us here that announcement that his name would be called Jesus. That is the word for Savior. And the Bible says that he will be great, that he is the Son of the Highest. She already been revealed that as she inquired later, how would this be? It would be by the Spirit of God, that she as a virgin would conceive the great miracle of his birth. And notice what was said. "He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Forever. Forever. And so she hears of a Savior. She hears of greatness. She hears of a King that will reign forever. And then notice, if you will, the scene again in chapter 2 in Bethlehem. We find that the occasion of his birth was a lowly place. That is, he was born in Bethlehem. And that there would be a sign of confirmation. For when they would find him, he would be wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now what that amounts to is strips of cloth. He would be, listen, in the place where animals stay and are living. We'd call it a barn. And listen, in a feed trough is where he would be placed. Now notice God is calling us to a sign. Because over here we have the announcement. And the announcement is glorious. The announcement, listen, is beyond comprehension of this one who is coming. That he is a king. That he will receive the throne of his father David. That his kingdom there shall be no end. That he is the Son of the Highest. That he's the Savior. And we find through these announcements here that were given even through the shepherds. The Bible said great tidings, great joy. Now listen, a Savior which is Christ the Lord. And so the glory, the wonder of this great birth and of this child. But here's where you'll find him. You'll find him in a barn wrapped in rags lying in a feed trough. The Bible says there's a sign. That is, this was not simply a bad circumstance. It was the providential work of God in teaching men. This sign was an indication of something beyond the mere circumstance. In other words, there's meaning to it. There is a purpose behind it. And notice we find, I believe, that's the reason there was a great stirring here in the heart of Mary and Joseph. And if you look back in chapter number 1, Mary was told about the great miracle that would take place. And then look what she says in verse 46. And Mary, in response to the announcement given to her, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart, he hath put down the mighty from their seats, exalted a low degree, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months." Now notice, this was Mary's response to the announcement. But I want you to see, after all of this played out in the will of God, and there by the providence of God, they were led back to the town, listen, of their lineage, and they came back to Bethlehem, the city of David. And we know what happened when they got there. There was no room for him in the inn. There were no pleasant accommodations. I mean, there wasn't even a Motel 6. Okay? There's nothing. Okay? So where'd they end up? They had to do something. Where'd they end up? End up in a barn. Wrapped him in the cloths, the strips of cloths, and the best place they could find to lay him was a feed trough. Now, you know what happened to Mary now? The Bible said that the shepherds came, and we found that the shepherds gave this announcement. But look, if you will, we find that Mary now, the Bible says, began to ponder these things in her heart. Chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. You know why? Because the way man would think, there's an apparent contradiction here. For we're talking glory. The Christ, the promised one, that goes back, she mentioned, even to Abraham and to his seed. There was coming the Messiah, the Christ, the King of David, who would establish again the throne of the house of his fathers. And listen, he would be mighty and the counselor. And listen, she was anticipating this, but she didn't anticipate having to give birth to her baby in a barn. The Bible said that this was a sign of condescension. And she pondered. That word ponder means to dispute. That is, that she was wrestling with the contradiction. Here's the announcement, but here is where he's born. This is the best I can do for him. And she knows the praise that uttered of her lips as she looked forward to the King of all kings and the promised deliverer. The one who would restore the nation. The royalty, the dignity, the honor. And yet here the baby lay in a feed trough. And the Bible said it would be a sign. That sign is a confrontation of man's perception. This is not how he perceives it going. Many of us have faced things in life and we say, boy, I didn't know this how it was going to work out. I never anticipated this. Surely Mary must have thought that with the announcement would come the provision. And that though she traveled to Bethlehem not knowing that surely God would have reserved for them the finest accommodations for the birth of this child Jesus. It was a contradiction to man's ways and his thoughts. it was an offense to human reason and human ideals and human ambitions. You see, God sent this as a sign to be a confrontation with how man thinks and how he perceives and what his priorities and values are and what he esteems about life. Listen, God came to confront man to bring him to the place where it seemed to be a contradiction, for God was trying to awaken us to a greater truth that Jesus came to reveal. We find Jesus Christ, the Son of David. It's amazing how Israel forgets where David came from. Israel looks back upon David and they think about when he was ruling the nation. And they were strong, powerful, and the truth is they were a world power under David. And listen, there was wealth, there was prosperity, there was no hunger, there was peace and joy. And listen, when they think of David and his kingdom, this was the glory days of the nation of Israel. And Messiah comes, he will take us greater than that. And it's a kingdom that will never end. We will never go back, listen, to being hated and being poor and being scattered around the world and destroyed, for he's going to come and establish a kingdom forever. And so in their minds, in their perceptions, they forget the story of David. Where did David come from? He was a little shepherd boy. And on the backside of King Saul's failure, we remember why they chose King Saul. He was head and shoulders above the rest of the men. All-star quarterback of Jerusalem High School, if they had one. And listen, the golden boy, strong, powerful, seemed to have some character and integrity, probably less concerning as how he looked was more important. He looked kingly. You know what he was? He proved to be a coward and a failure. And so God said, now, you've tried your choice for a king. My choice is a son of Jesse. When the prophet came, Samuel, to Jesse, bring before your sons, for God has told me his king after his own heart is among your sons. And so he got the dad boys. That's the last part of the name. Can't remember the first name. But he run them through. You know what Samuel said? Nope. 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 Jesse think, well, you've made a mistake. Now let's run them through again. Okay. He probably, I don't know if he did, but he might have said, now, these are the qualities. Now, he's this and he's that. No. And you know what Samuel did? Samuel had inquired, don't you have another son? Shepherd boy. When your own father doesn't consider you in the equation, small, little shepherd boy. You see, isn't it how funny the nation of Israel forgot that Jesus as the Son of David, that David was a type, that he would come from lowliness and humiliation. Listen, nothing comely to appear concerning strength and power and character. He looked common and ordinary, but he would ascend to the throne and become, listen, God's great king that would lead the nation to prosperity and to the height of its spiritual blessings, that he came from nowhere. He came, listen, from smallness. He came from humility. You see, God was impacting them. And we find that Mary and Joseph here, now confronted with these things, that they begin to ponder these things in their heart. That is, to combine or to dispute. They were trying to put together and reason out how could these things be true. And here we are stuck in a barn and the baby placed in a feed trough. Then how in the world can these things come to pass? You see, because in their mind the prospect of glory and of dignity and of royalty was according to the mind and the ways of men. God deliberately confronted them with that. God confronts us with that today as well. For as you and I begin to understand, man associates glory with that which is visible, that which is material, that which is physical. You and I know something. We know. That is, someone stated many years ago that person who has position and power and prominence, he puts his pants on one leg at a time like every other man. And we know that essentially what he is, he's just a man. One thing we learned, the best of men are men at best. That they are still subject to a fallen nature. And though they may have gifts and talents, they have the seeds of corruption in them like everyone else. But isn't it amazing how if you put the shiniest garments upon them, you give them an entourage of people who will go before them and make motions of respect and reverence. And you give them the finest golden chariot to ride in. And you put their picture of their faces all over. And people now will stand and they'll go, royalty, dignity, honor. Respect. You see, God is confronting man with how he thinks. You know why? Because we think wrongly. And he confronted Israel, confronted the nation, confronted the city of Jerusalem. He confronted the religious leaders. You know why? Because when God chose to send the announcement of the birth of the Son of God, He bypassed the religious community and He went to the shepherds, the lowly shepherds, and told them. And it was the lowly shepherds that came with the message of God. You wonder why the religious crowd didn't join the wise men in their trip to worship Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because they were offended. He can't be real, because if he's a real thing, God had told us, not some crazy flea-bit shepherds. He'd have come to us. We are the servants of the Most High. We are God's people. We are the communicators of truth. God has invested in us spiritual truth, and he bypassed us. And listen, they would shake their hands of him. No, could not be. God would not have bypassed. God would not have humiliated the priest of the Lord by going and letting the shepherds make that announcement. And so God, we see them, and this was a sign. It was a confrontational sign. Listen, Jesus was stripped of his outward adorning that men might see the true glory of God. The true glory, my friend, is not just what is visible. It is not just the magnificence. It's not just the shining light. It's not just the grandeur. Listen, but the true virtue of God, the true glory, is the holiness of the Lord. And that holiness needed to be seen. And it could only be seen in the humiliation of Jesus Christ as He walked a common pathway. Jesus was not born with a silver spoon. Listen, He did not walk around and not know what life was about. He was not privileged. His path was not paid on the bed of ease. No, He became a common man and He walked a difficult pathway. He knew hardship. He knew the sweat of His brow. He knew suffering. He knew thirst. He knew hunger. He knew it all. He had stooped down, my friend, all the way down to reach out to all men that they might see the glory of God, having witnessed His righteousness, that He walked in poverty. He walked in rejection. Listen, He walked in sorrow, but He walked a holy pathway, never having sinned against God, but loved His neighbor and gave His life to sacrifice to others and even for sinners that men might be saved. And listen, He pulled back the pomp, He pulled back the circumstance, pulled back the royal robes, pulled back the dignity so that we could see the heart of God and see that God is love and that God is holy and that God came to save the vilest of sinners. And so God confronted man with the way he thinks and showed him, if you don't understand this, you'll miss it. If you don't understand the sign God has given you, you're going to miss it. For it wasn't what he was given. It wasn't the power. It wasn't the clothes that he wore. Listen, the virtue of Jesus was from within. For the glory came. The glory of Jesus was not given to him as it is to a man. The glory, he came being born as God in human flesh. You see, the glory of man is something that's given to him. There have been many a man who excelled in fame and fortune. But because of unfortunate circumstances or a path of foolishness, he closes out his days with nothing. I don't know too much about the story, don't care a whole lot, but one of the famous boxers who became a worldwide known figure today. He's still alive today, and he works as a janitor in a sports complex. One time, money to burn in the fireplace. People flocked around him. People, he entered a restaurant. People couldn't believe it. Do anything to get his autograph. And now he's pushing a broom. You know why? Because you gave him that glory. You gave it to him. When Jesus came, listen, he came in humiliation and sorrow. His glory was not given to him. It was possessed. It was owned. It was his own glory. It was the Father's glory. Jesus didn't have to go to school to learn how to heal. He had the power to heal. Listen, Jesus didn't have to go to school to learn how to teach. He already knew what to teach, for he was God. You see, my friend, we were being confronted. And so we find the Bible said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death. Even the death of the cross, Jesus voluntarily, came in shame and humiliation. He laid aside all that glory and dignity and royalty of the Godhood and simply became a common peasant man that men might see the true glory and the true purpose for which he's come. Jesus, even in the cradle, was already bearing the cross. Already bearing. Then notice with me quickly in Luke chapter 2, verse 30. We see the sign of condescension. I want you to see the sign of constitution. Simeon took Jesus up in his arms. And he said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, the salvation of God." Could I just say this in passing? If you don't see your salvation by beholding the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have any. He took him up, looked in that face of that baby. "I have seen thy salvation." Salvation, my friend, is not of works nor of your righteousness. Listen, salvation of man is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And he said, "I have seen it." And now because he had seen the salvation of God, Simeon's ready to go. I'm ready to go. He had peace about dying. Why? He had seen Jesus. If you'll ever see Jesus Christ for who He is, what He is, and what He's done, and claim Him as your own, God will give you peace when you face that final journey. Now notice what He said. He said, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of Thy people." And Joseph and his mother marveled. Notice they're still marveling because they're having to deal with this contradiction that they feel like has taken place. Those things were spoken. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary's mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many Israel for a sign which shall be spoken against." Now notice, here is the second prominent sign given about Jesus Christ. I'm going to try to hurry. Simeon here, he made a statement concerning Jesus Christ. "Behold, this child is set." That is, that he has been placed by God. That God has established a standard. God has established a law. God has established a principle. God has established the person of Christ upon which will be the fall or the rising of many. Now, as you and I consider that, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is vested with all power and authority. And remember this, the Bible said that as Jesus prayed, he said, "Father, the hour's come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And so I want you to see here that Jesus Christ has been set by God. And that establishment determines, listen, those that have life and those that have death. Those that will rise, those that will fall. Those, listen, that have their sin, those who have the salvation of God, those who have heaven, those who have hell. And notice it said that this sign that gives life is also a sign here of those to whom will receive death. "For it shall be spoken against." In other words, that Jesus Christ was sent and established. And he was sent, and the announcement was this, to be a Savior And it was clear in the angelic message that this was for the whole world. You know what God's announcement was? Whosoever believeth may come. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God sent Jesus and set Him in the midst of us so that men could be saved. But He said, there's a sign. There's a sign that teaches. There's a sign that reveals here. And He says what's prominent about it is that not all men are or will be saved, but actually will speak against it. Let me read you the scripture. The Bible says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Notice, Jesus Christ is the set stone, the cornerstone. And those that believe will not be ashamed. Those who don't believe, He becomes a stumbling stone. A rock of offense. That is, listen, it will offend you and cause you to stumble. And so God indicates here that this sign will confirm the fact that He will be not only received, but He will be rejected. And that is that Jesus Christ is placed right in the midst of the world, right in the midst of humanity, and He will leave people with one or two choices. They either accept Him or they will reject Him. One of the two. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the truth. And either it is accepted or it is denied. Listen, it all comes down to the question, what will you do with Jesus? If you've not worshiped Him according to the announcement of who He is, that means you've rejected Him because you do not believe Him. He has born into us what? A Savior. If you've not trusted Him, you simply don't believe the report. Listen, He has born to us a King, born into us a Lord. And listen, Jesus Christ came and He spoke the truth and He revealed that there's but one way to heaven. And you know what? That offends most of the world. That offends the religious world. It offends the self-righteous world. But Jesus didn't make allowances for any other way. The Bible declared, Jesus said, ye must be born again. He didn't leave any exceptions. Any other options? There's nothing else. There's no other name in heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. He is the only way. And listen, the world stumbles over that and rejects it because my way is good enough and my rights is good enough and my God is good enough and all roads lead to heaven. Jesus said that is not so. There's only one way to get to the Father. It is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by Him. And because of that, some have been saved and received Him and are here to worship Him. And we have seen the salvation of God and we rejoice that it's mine. Others have rejected Him and refused Him and said no. And so it is a sign given by God, a confirmation of the truth that He will be set for either rising or falling. It all hinges on what men do with the record of Jesus Christ. God has preserved that record. God has told you who He is, why He came, what He did. God has published the gospel, and God's purpose before the coming of Christ is the gospel to every creature spread around the world. What did you do with the record of Jesus? Either He is who He says He is, or He's not. Can I repeat this? So important. Can I repeat this? Either you accept Jesus as He's presented in the Bible, or He's a fraud. He can't be a good man if He's a fraud. Jesus cannot be a good man at all Not at all. If he's lied, if he's deceived, if he's a fake and a phony. Either he is the Son of God, the Savior, the only way to heaven, or it's the biggest liar been told. You can't put him on a pedestal about halfway up. The world tries it because they deny what's recorded of him. Even the religions that teach another way of salvation try to put Jesus on a little small pedestal. My friend, when you understand the record preserved of him, there is no other allowance. He has given a name, listen, above every name. Nobody compares to Jesus Christ. And listen, anybody else claims to be a Savior, he's a fake and a phony. You can't have it any other way. He is set right in the middle. The two-edged sword, it divides. For those that will be rising, those that will be falling. God is setting, will be spoken against. Let me give you this quickly and we'll close. These signs confirm not only the Son of God, but they confirm also the saints of God, both in our message and in our manner. Listen to what God calls to His people. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. What I'm saying is this. It also identifies His true people. Because you and I, listen, as we grow in the Lord, we are becoming fashioned into His image. You know what that means? That means that our manner is following His. You know what that is? Not pride, not boasting, not bragging, not exalting. It is giving ourselves as a servant in behalf of our neighbors and our fellow men. We follow Christ. We're like Him. It identifies the true saints of God. You know what the saints of God are like? They're like Jesus. Huh? They're like Jesus. Amen? Our message also is His message. And you know what happens? If we follow Jesus, we'll be like Him, but also we'll be spoken against. You know why? Because we still herald the same message. It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. And there's no other way. I wonder today, don't have time for the rest of it. It's not the pride of life we manifest. It's the glory of God. The true spirit of the saints of God, the signs that will confirm them is that their manner is like Jesus in the lowliness and being the servants unto its society. And the sign will be that they'll be spoken against. However, God will use them to bring some men to Christ. Thank God the church has been set in society. And the church, like Jesus, has been set as well for the rising and the falling of many. Because we have the gospel story and we preach it. Some receive it. Thank God. I trust you're one of them this morning. One of those that receive the message. There's some offended by it who reject it. You know what? Thank God today, you're one of those that's rising and not one of those that's falling. Thank God for the truth that sets men free. A sign. Those signs, and you and I can witness those signs in the sons of God, in the saints of God, for we're like Him.